him was in us, is in us, if we have the new birth. And just common sense would say it should make the exact same way. All right, so Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read the whole chapter. But when we get down to the fruits of the Spirit, we'll talk about that, because I believe this kind of sums it all up. Now, you can take each one and parallel them with all the virtues, but when you come to godliness, it's what I said before. When you get to godliness, you got all those virtues working in your life, then there's a lot of things that you should be able to do to overcome at that place. So let's go to chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now he's talking about the new birth. We come to the new birth. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled again. So what can happen? You can get entangled. You know what he's saying? Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. All right? Which, who puts the yoke on us? We do. Because Christ took it off, we put the burdens back on. All right? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Boy, he was telling them plain, wasn't he? I mean, he's talking to the Galatians. He's telling them, said, your circumcision is nothing now. It's a circumcision of the heart, not a circumcision of the flesh. But there was a time when we come up to the circumcision of the flesh, which was a type. And that's at your new birth. That's the baby form. When Abraham was circumcised, that typed the Holy Ghost in its baby form. Everybody got that? All right. But we have to be circumcised again. We have to be circumcised again because it's a refilling of the Holy Ghost. It's not you get the Holy Ghost like you did at the baby form. All right? It's a refilling. It's a packing on of more. Because really, actually, I was listening the other day on the radio, and there was a doctor on there, and he said, you know your largest organ in your body? You know what the largest organ in your body is? Organism in your body is? Your skin. Your flesh. Your flesh is the largest organism in your body. It covers almost 100%, besides all them little places that there's not flesh there. You know, you understand what I'm talking about? So Paul understood that great, you know, it was the greatest organ was going to have to be circumcised, not totally circumcised like Abraham did with the foreskin of his manhood, but it's the foreskin of our flesh. It's the added stuff that we have that we have to shave off. That's why the statue of perfect man is a shaving off of excess flesh. And it's not excess flesh. We can't do anything. You know, you could lose 100 pounds, but you're still a sinner if you were a sinner at whatever. So it's not that. It's working on the inside, but it truly is showing on this one. If this is your largest organ, your largest facility to display humanity, this is what has got to be under control, all right? Watch what he says. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Right. Now, do you understand what he's saying there? See, a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to go to the priest and let him cut the foreskin of my manhood off. Well, sure, that made you a Jew, and that gave you right to go in the temple because you were circumcised. But that was just an outward showing. That's why there was no Holy Ghost in the Old Testament to get inside the person. It was just a fleshly looking at the person, you know. But here we see Paul has brought us into the light of the whole law. In other words, what he was seeing? He was seeing people go and have the circumcision done and then living like the devil. That's what he was seeing right here, because he says, "Not for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law, not just that one type of circumcision." So let me explain this a little bit quicker. Our foreskin's taken off at the new birth. All right, that's the type. But then here we got to be a debtor of the whole law. You say, "Well, we're not under the law." No, we're not. But you can't do away with the Old Testament types and shadows, which brings us into the New Testament, which brings that statue of a perfect man alive in Jesus Christ and in now in me and you. So the ones before that, I don't say they have an excuse, but they do have an excuse. God couldn't get in their soul to make them act like him But there was anointing that would come down and anoint the person, David, and he would write those Psalms as we're talking about. But when that anointing was off David, he was a lustful king. Sorry, he was a lustful king. I mean, man, he had 500 wives. He had 500 wives, but he watched one on the rooftop naked and got all excited. Let me just, you know, just I mean, and said, I want her. Knowing she was married because Uriah was his best friend. Now, see, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was this flesh that Paul's fixing to talk about. That was the flesh he's fixing to talk about. Now, I'm sure David was circumcised. I'm sure, don't you think? So he had the right of circumcision. He was under the law. He was under the right of being a Jew or an Israelite. But he didn't do the whole law. But remember, he was covered by grace, by a prophet being there. All right? If it's not for grace, then we're all, you can be circumcised. You can take a grinder and grind your flesh off, and you're still just as bad as you, you know. Right, that's right. All that. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But do you do the whole law? All 1,100 sermons, do we do what the prophet said? All right? Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. The law can't justify anybody. So that's why I'm telling you about this virtue, not all that is not do's and don'ts. There's not a do and a don't in that. But it's all do's and don'ts. It's what you do and what you don't do. But remember what Paul's trying to tell the Galatians. He's, like Mom said, he's looking at them and saying, okay, you're circumcised. You can go into the temple. You can show me. In other words, I can show you I've been circumcised. That was an outward expression that they had become a Jew. But then you look at them and see them committing adultery. You see them doing this. You see them doing that. You see them doing all these other things. And Paul's going, Christ has become of no effect unto you. What he's trying to do is get them converted. Remember he said, oh, foolish Galatians? He went to the Galatians and they still worshiping idols and stuff like that. Ye are fallen from grace. So Paul was bringing grace to them. They thought Paul was bringing a judgment to them. Paul was not. He was trying to give them a way out. He really was. He was trying to say, look, you continue like you are, you're going to have to stand in judgment under the law. And none of you are going to make it. Because it says right here, it says you're falling from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. All right? For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Put a little bit of leaven. It don't matter if you put it in a 55-gallon drum of unleavened bread. It's going to work and work and work and work. And what it does is it goes from, it's like yeast. It multiplies from one cell to two, two to four to eight to 16. 16 to 32, so it's not just it's adding one, it's exponentially, it's doubling. That's why the song says sin will take you farther than you want to go, you know, once you get out there. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Remember, he suffered persecution. He wasn't suffering persecution because he was circumcised, because he could show him he was a Jew. He was circumcised. They were persecuting him by what he was preaching. Right? He was tearing up their synagogues, not physically, but spiritually. Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. but by love serveth one another. In other words, don't do it because you say, well, I'm coming to brotherly kindness. I've got to start loving. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do have to start loving your brother. But if you go, well, I got to shake that sister's hand and smile at her just so they'll think I got brotherly kindness. No, that don't work. No. That's why brotherly kindness, we're going to get into a few things, and it's going to, I mean, it's one of them where it's right here in your face. It's right here. It's just you and you alone. Because you can love somebody and shake their hand, hug their neck, and think to be friends with them, and then they hate you in their heart. And it not be that they hate you as you say, well, I hate, you know, whatever I you know, I don't. Try not to hate things, but I despise doing things. But it's not that you can't do that. You got to bring that thing together, because Jesus said the greatest commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, how many of you have had trouble with your neighbor? Well, you got to love him and her just as much as you love yourself. And everybody go. We'll get to the more in a minute. We got to do it the same.
Right. I used to sit in my manager's face and be smiling and smiling and smiling and smiling. And I come home and I thought to myself, I said, you know what, I'd be good. The Holy Spirit waited for me to be good. I was joyful. And he said, you need to zip your own lips. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your attention. And right. You're telling them a whole lot of lies. Smiling his face is a whole lot of lies.
Right. Yes. Yes.
He comes out and he shows you. That brother in love you talk about, you showing it, and they look at it. And my manager even said, oh, Johnny is so nice. Oh, she could be it. I had it going on.
You had him duped, didn't you? There's one you can't dupe. You can't dupe the Lord. He's right there. He knew it before the foundation of the world anyway. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serveth one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. How many times you have, listen, we've all hated people that's done something to us or whatever, and it just eats you alive. You know what? That ain't going to do you one bit of good. You have wasted part of your life on somebody that don't give a flip about you. You've wasted your time on it. Just don't worry about it. That's why it's going to be tough when we get to brotherly kindness. You know, the old saying is that, you know, you walk around and you walk in a room and people's over there talking, you know, you think they're talking about you. 90% of the time, they ain't talking about you. They're talking about their own problems. You know, so that's what we got to. And you know what? It is an Alcoholics Anonymous to start with. We've got to turn away from that to begin with. And then God, who was it the other day, said they was doing something that, like Sister Johnny, you'd be going through life and you say, well, God, I know I got this road rage or whatever. You know, I got this thing that Satan just keep pushing my button. Well, one day he's going to push that button and there's not going to be any life behind it or no spark behind it. And you're going to go, man, that's gone. That's done. It's done away with. But you know what? You could sit there all day and go, I know it's there, but I'm going to still do it. I know it's there, but I'm going to still do it. I know it's there. See, you can do that and you can override your free moral agency, like we was talking about last Sunday with the Holy Ghost. You can override, and the Holy Ghost says go this way, and you go that way. All right? We got to go get finished. Hang on. Yeah, we will. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. All the law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. In other words, so that's what I'm saying. It's going to consume you. It's going to hurt your Christian experience. Now, how in the world are you going to hurt that person's Christian experience if he's, right, if he don't have one? If he don't have a Christian experience and you're over here, nan, well, who are you hurting? You ain't hurting him or her. You're hurting yourself. All right? So that's something you got to get rid of. This I say unto thee, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now there's your promise right there. You can circle that one and underline it, because that's yours. I hadn't circled it, but I underlined it twice. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary the one to the other. Now you got to realize that. See, we have to come to a realization is that's why I believe this church is different from other churches. A lot of other churches try to sugarcoat it and say, well, it's, you know, you gotta just be nice. No, we know we got problems in the flesh. Right here is what it tells us. There's no alleviation of the problems of the flesh. There's no way that Brother Branham or God or even Jesus said, well, you're never going to have any trouble in the flesh anymore. No, it's never in the Bible, nowhere. The only place you're never going to have trouble with the flesh is after the body change. And I said after the body change. I didn't say during it. I said after it. Because Brother Branham said right till the moment you're changed, you're going to be sticky. Your flesh is going to bother you right up to the moment of the change. So there's no relief except through the Spirit or through Jesus Christ. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For if the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. That's the statue of a perfect man. Because the Holy Ghost has all those virtues already packed in there when you get born again. Now, what is our problem? We do this right here. We let the flesh, listen, when it's talking about flesh, it is talking about this, but it's the fleshly things we do. Okay? Because remember, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. There's no life to that. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no life to see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Because I've still got the same see, taste, feel, smell, and hear when I wasn't born again as I do when I'm born again. Okay, you know, and remember, when Brother Brown went across the curtain of time, they still had see, taste, feel, smell, and hear in their theophany. So see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, you cannot blame anything on see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Sure. Right. So, what are we doing? It's got to be the next man. Memory, reason, because like you brought up Wednesday night, that's good. I got a sermon on that, I think. I've been thinking on it. We'll see. Because really, it is the Spirit. Now, memory is a motivator. Right? Because what you saw, you have memory of. So that's the seeing part. But it wasn't that your eyes are going to memorize. Your eyes is just what you see it with. Your brain is where the memory part is. Your reasoning is in your brain. Your consciousness, yeah, it is in your brain too, because you have subconscious and consciousness. It's in your brain, is what Brother Branham said. So all that's in your brain. Greatest battle ever fought is what I was thinking about the other night. Because memory, reason, conscious, affection, where does it come from? Your body just displays what you already know or what's chemically in your brain. Testosterone or whatever you want to call it, that excites you, and then the flesh is connected to that, and it happens. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination for sure is in your brain. So it's all there in your brain. It's all in the psyche of you. It's right there between your ears. So it's not, we can't blame on stuff, well, I saw this. Well, no, you look that way with your eyes, but in your brain is what motivated what you're looking at. Okay? So be careful with that middle man. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. All right? So let's watch. Because remember, when he talks about godly love, it's not that affection that's in that middle realm. The center realm is either faith or doubt. So you either got love or not love. And that emulates out through the memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. It's like I've always said, if God's in your soul, the devil can play all around it. But he's coming from this way. So he's got to come down through your contact of the world into your memory, reason, conscious, affection. Well, God's going to do the same thing. He's pushing out Sure, there's no way you can physically forget the things you've done. Because the devil is reminding you of everything you ever done. Now, God's not reminding you of that. Now, he may bring things to your remembrance so you can help others. You understand what I'm saying? To help others through a situation. But he's not going to bring something that you did 20 years ago when you wasn't a Christian. He's not going to bring that up. You know why? He can't remember it. We got to realize that that's what that scripture means, that he has put it in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. But the devil, see, that's the paradox. The devil remembers it, brings it to your brain. God don't remember it, and he's down here going this way. But you have to live off that experience that you have. And that's what this statue of a perfect man to me is an experience. And it's an experience that only a very small group of people ever went through. First church age, they had it. Second church age, they had a little bit less. Third church age, a little bit less. Fourth church age, it was gone. Seed went in the ground, right? Fourth church age, they just had faith, and that's what got them through. They said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's my Savior, and they killed him. And that's all they had. Then you had Luther come out, Wesley come out, Pentecostals came out. But here in the end time, that's why the prophet had to come to bring all this together so we can restore back that faith that they had. Where Peter could say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. He had to have it to give it. He had to have it to give it. And he didn't go ask his pastor about it either. We need a pastor bad. But what about one day when you're out by yourself and you can't find your pastor? You better call Pastor Jesus and make sure you got a line open there somewhere. Okay? But if ye be led, verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. All right? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. And we've all done that. One of them. Somewhere in there, we've all done that. Okay? And such like. If you hadn't, that covered you. See what that says, such like? If you hadn't done any of them up above there, Paul adds, and such like. So Paul wasn't giving you no way out. You know, there probably somebody in the congregation is going, no, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. No, I ain't done that. I ain't done that. I ain't done that. And then he gets down, Paul says, and such like. And he said, oh, okay, I did that. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past. So he's brought this up before. That okay to say? He's brought this up before. All right? That ye which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right? But, he didn't leave it to that part, but It does not say the fruits of the Spirit. We say that wrong every time we say it. It's not fruits. It's fruit of the Spirit. See it right there? Doesn't say fruits. Fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because it's one fruit, one Spirit. It's coming from one place. All right? Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, see, long-suffering can cover patience. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Because the law just condemns you. Right? The law just condemns you. You're just doomed. All right? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So don't envy that Brother Bob has got a meek spirit and you want one. Well, it's good to have a meek spirit, but it's also good to be bold. It's also good to be just be who you are. Paul said one time, be content. Be content with who you are. You know, I like that what John the Baptist told those soldiers. He said, be content in your wages. Be content in what you do. Remember John the Baptist was talking about? He said, you be content with what you're doing. You be content with what's going on. Okay? Now look. Let's read the first few verses of chapter 6. Because I'm like Dad. Paul continues a thought. They put chapters in here, not, but I think Paul continued a letter. He didn't write chapters. He just wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to the Galatians. Man took it and said, okay, he's talking about this over here, so let's separate it and bring this down here. But watch his thought. Just continue right on with chapter 6. There's no break. There's no break in it. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, what are you just talking about? The adulterous, lasciviousness, and all that. Ye which are spiritual, the ones that have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. You see what he's saying? Because if you don't consider what you've done, and say, okay, I'm going to bear with this brother. You're going to get a spirit on you like that brother's got. It may not be as bad. But still, you got to be careful. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now see, that's not the law of man or the law in the Old Testament. That's the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. We'll stop right there. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. This is a personal walk with God. Personal. Between you and him. Okay? For every man shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. So the burden of us is to have virtue. The burden is to have knowledge. That's our burden. God don't have burdens. We have burdens. But remember, he's the burden bearer. If you can't bear it anymore, give it to him. But he gives you a provision, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. So in other words, my long-suffering's got to be like Brother Bob's or Brother Joe's or somebody. You can't say, well, I'm long-suffering, and then you act another way. And Brother Joe says, well, I'm long-suffering, and I act the way Christ's supposed to act. No, there's one law. There's the law of Christ. There's a fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. To me, that all binds up in godliness where we're at in the pyramid. So has anybody got any questions on godliness? Because we're going to start on brotherly kindness next week, Lord willing. And because remember, to be like God is to have a God consciousness. Your first conscious is, I'm of the world, the things of the world, and all that, but your subconscious and that inside of the inside has got to be more real than your outside person. You understand me? Because that's the real you in here. This, remember, this just displays what's in here. So your see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You say, well, I saw that, I heard that. That's just to contact the world with. That's just the conduit to get it to your brain. In your brain is where you do the cooking. The brain is where you cook things up or throw things out. One of the two. That's imagination. You can sit there and imagine that people's talking about you, or you can imagine that you know this person, that it all comes down to an individual affair with God. Period. You and God alone. That's why I told them down in Miami, I said, look, there's no preacher going to speak our body change. They were a little silent. But there's not. They can't one person do it. Or Brother Branham would have to come back and one person would speak a body change. No, it's got to come from what's inside of you. You'll speak your body change. Now, we're not going to stand there one day, I don't think, and go, today my body's going to be changed. No, I think we're going to walk in the Word so much to where it's just going to take over. And we're going to say, this is it. We're done. This is the finish. This is the finish of it all. We've got the word that we need. We've got the position that we're in. Now, God, it's up to you to change my body. And then you'll be changed. Because I don't think we have to gather under a tent and one person speak our body change. I don't believe that. Because it's in an individual affair with God. So, but we will be changed at the same time. I believe. I believe we will. Yes. Yes. It has. It had to be. Now we got to move into that. We've got to believe that it's already. It's like Dad's preaching now. We got to believe it's already been done. And it did start the day you got born again. Your change did begin. Because, man, it should have changed you. It should have changed you. That's where the change starts. But remember, you still got that memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, and all that stuff balled around you that the devil shoots you with. But just remember that. Godliness is to have a God consciousness. To act like, not to act like God, but act like Jesus, which is God. But remember, you know, you say, well, you need to act like Jesus Christ. Watch the money changers and watch the things he called. Hey, he stood up in congregation and called them hypocrite. Snakes in the grass. Vipers. You killed the prophets. Why would you stand up one day and say, look, just because you, if you believe Brother Branham a different way, if you believe him that he's wrong, you've killed him. That's what he said. Well, that's what Jesus said about the prophets of old. He said, in other words, you hold on to the books and the tapes, and you shine the tombs, but you're the ones that put him in there. You're the ones that put him in there. And we did. We're the ones that put him in the grave. But we got to be the ones to bring him out. Amen? All right, let's go.